You're listening to the Real Church Podcast. Real Church is located in Chicago, Illinois. For more information, please go to realchicago.com.
A couple things I want to draw your minds to. If you were unable to hear last week's teaching, make sure you go onto the podcast and listen to it. Because basically what we're going to be doing for the next 7 weeks is going to hinge off of last week. And so as a quick review, last week we jumped into, we'd been going through the book of Matthew. In Matthew 28, Jesus says, go. And a lot of times Christians ask, go where? Do what? What is it, God, that you want me to do? And what we wanted to do was we wanted to answer the, okay, what are you supposed to do? Where are you supposed to go? What is it that you're supposed to be connected with? And last week, we taught that followers of Christ are sanctified by truth, that followers of Christ are conformed to his kingdom, that followers of Christ see the clash in the worldviews, that followers of Christ have limits, and that followers of Christ engage where they're gifted. And that's where we're jumping into right now. Followers of Christ engage where they're gifted. Now, a lot of times we engage in areas where we're not gifted. And that gets us into a lot of trouble. Okay, now, because some of us like to lie to ourselves, we want to and we hope that one day we would be good at something. And we keep engaging in this area and we're not good at it. And sometimes we need a community to come around us and say, man, it's awesome that you keep trying this. We love your work ethic. We love that you haven't quit. We love that you have not given up. But this is probably not an area that you are gifted in. This is something that you're interested in, but this is not something that you are gifted in. And so one of the things that I want to do today before I really start to jump in is I want to give a disclaimer. If I could have a lawyer stand up here next to me and speak fine print really fast. This is what I would want this lawyer to say. There are a couple things that you really don't want to jump in and start a conversation with a group of people. You don't want to talk politics. You don't want to talk about people's money. And usually you don't want to talk about their kids. Because people are insanely opinionated on those areas. And not only are they opinionated, they are easily offended in those areas. Now, what I want to say in the disclaimer is my purpose is not to offend you. My purpose is to get you to start thinking. My purpose is to jar you and get you to understand how to move out of the stages that we talked about of being a consumer who just takes things in, to move to someone who is self-conscious. And sometimes, in order to move from consumer to self-conscious, you have to be woken up. So my purpose today is to shake you, not to injure you, to shake you so that you would start to wrestle with what I'm asking you to wrestle with. Now, here's the wrong application. The wrong application is I disagree with Nathan. Sure, you've moved to critic. That's stage three. Great. What you didn't do was move to stage four, which is contributor. Contributor says, I disagree with this. Okay, what should I do? The purpose isn't for you to come have an argument with me. That's not the purpose. The purpose is for you to go out later this afternoon and be the contributor. It's not for you to craft an email and write to me all the areas that I'm wrong. Although Christians think that's what they're supposed to do and they feel like they did something. That's not going out into the world. That's not preaching the gospel. That's writing a rude letter to someone who tried their best and failed. Does that make sense what I'm trying to communicate? So for some of you, I'm going to present ideas that are not biblical. They are not truth. The purpose is to get you to get going to find what it is that you're supposed to do. Now, some of you, education's not your area. Okay? You don't like education. You don't want to be educated, and you are scared if anybody ever puts you in the room to try to tell people what to do. You're like, absolutely not, I don't want to do that. But if you're a parent, if you're a grandparent, if you're a taxpayer, you're involved in education, okay? So let's jump into and let's start talking about education. We've talked about the four stages of culture by Mark Bertrand. He talks about being a consumer. Is it something that you just do and you don't understand why you do what you do? You just do it. And for a lot of Americans, that's education. They just do it because that's what they were told to do, and they don't understand what education is. Are you self-conscious? Are you aware of how education tries to shape and influence you? Do you make deliberate choices involving your education? Do you make deliberate choices as to what Bible translation you read? Do you make deliberate choices as to what Bible study you follow or what devotion you're involved in? Do you make deliberate choices and understand the commentaries that you read about the Bible? Who's the person who wrote the commentary and what is their bias and their slant? Are you aware of what you take in as you're educated and what you're told to think? Are you a critic? Can you start to identify what it is that they're doing and realize it, and then start to realize the flaws in what it's being said, and can you articulate it? That's hard. It's easy to say that's not right. It's hard to say that's not right. We should be doing this. That's difficult. And then moving to the fourth stage, not only is that wrong, that's not right, we should be doing this, but to actually start doing that. That's contributor, that's stage four. My son came to me last week. He's like, Dad, it made total sense when I realized it was a stage that you were talking about. You're talking about we start on the first stage of maybe we're just consumer, we take it in, we don't know. Now we're moving to self-conscious. Once we move to self-conscious, we've got to move to be able to critique it and to understand it, to be able to break it apart, and then we've got to be able to change and move in the direction we're supposed to go. He's like, Dad, I got it. I was like, why didn't you preach? Right? Sometimes you get up here and you try to teach things and you're trying with everything that you've got, and then you go home and your son says, if you just would have taught it like this, it would have been great. Man. So we're jumping into the seven pillars. You guys have given, some of you guys weren't here last week, so I'm giving a little bit of a review. Seven pillars is the concept of this. What is it that holds up culture? What are the main supporting structures of culture? If culture was a roof and it was something that is over us and it casts a shadow on us and it influences us, what are the things that push up that roof? What are the things that hold it? And we looked at them. Their education, their family, its media, government, spirituality, arts and entertainment, and economy. All right, so enough of the review. Let's jump into today. Let's talk about education, all right? Now, I love talking about education. Why? Because that's what I'm trained in. I went through 4 years of college with liberal studies degree. I went through a fifth-year post-grad degree on that. And then now, you guys, most of you know, I'm finishing another master's as if one wasn't enough. Let me be honest with you. I hate education. I do not like it. There are many flaws with education. And let me explain to you right here and now that each of you has a different view of education because you're unique, and let me validate you right now. You're right. The difficulty is when you try to have an argument with someone that had a wonderful education, if you try to tell them that education's messed up, their worldview is, no, the educational system is great. I don't understand that. For some of you, you went to an amazing high school. You had a wonderful high school experience. Some of you went to a horrible high school. I'm mainly talking about Rocky, if he actually attended. So, but some of you had a horrible high school experience. And someone's talking wonderful about high school, your response is, I hated high school. I would never want to go back. So what I want you to understand in this room is we have varied experiences. And to create a one-size-fits-all statement about education, not going to work. So you have to work with me. Again, my job is to bring up something. Your job is to move from critic to contributor. You've got to start shaping inside of yourself. Okay, what is it? Why do I feel that way? How come I think that? Where is this coming on me? And a big question, if we could all sit in the room and I ask you this question, what's the purpose of education? We would have massively different answers in this room. Massively different answers. Some of you would think of the end game. Some of you guys would think of patriotism. Some of you guys would think about illiteracy. Some of you guys, and you would have many different answers. I would say socialized daycare so that we have a workforce. Now, for some of you guys, like, oh my gosh, I can't believe you just said that, but I'm thankful that my child goes away so I can go work. Like, I mean, there's so many things that go on. So I had some fun. I looked into it. I said, okay, what is education? And what do people think education is? Well, real quick, here's a quote, because I did a Google search, purpose of education, right? The first thing you find out, what does Google think? And this is what I found. First of all, it says, for years, educators based the purpose of education on the definition by John Dewey. I'm going to get there later on. Restated by Gene Carter, the executive director and chief executive officer of ASCD. If you're an executive officer of an acronym, you know you're important, right? I went to this website. I could not find what ASCD stood for. That's how important they are. Their website was so informational that they couldn't tell me what that was about, which is funny because ASCD, which is the place I went, is the Association for Supervision and Curriculum Development. But yet on their website, they could not communicate that. I thought that was hilarious. So I had to Google search what ASCD was. I digress. That the general purpose of school is to transfer knowledge and to prepare young people to participate in America's democratic society. Now, just sit there for a moment. You guys look at that quote. Do you agree with that? Do you disagree with that? Are you just going to consume it and just say, because it was on Google, it's right? Or are you going to look at that and go, oh my gosh, that clashes with my worldview. I don't believe that that's completely true. I think some of it's true. I think all of it's true. Like, where do you fall? Because that's not the only one. The Washington Post said this, debate about the purposes of education never seems to end. Should young people become educated to get prepared to enter the workforce? Or should the purpose of education be focused more on social, academic, cultural, and intellectual development so that students can grow up to be engaged as citizens? Those are some great questions. I believe it was Minnesota, and I could be wrong, so it's one of the northern states, where the governor tried to change the purpose of education at the collegiate level for the state university that it would be to prepare people to go into the workforce. Because what they were saying is for our economy as a state, we need to have people who can enter the workforce. We no longer need people who can sing, "Would You Like Fries with That?" Let you guys get that joke, okay? In other words, what this governor is saying is in order for our state to be competitive with other states, in order for our state to draw jobs in that we need to have higher educated individuals so that our economy can run. That is a massive shift from what education started out to be. You see, 1934, which they quoted on Dewey, this won't be in the notes, you just have to listen. 1934, John Dewey wrote this, he was a philosopher. He said, the purpose of education has always been to everyone in essence the same, to give the young things that they need in order to develop in an orderly, sequential way into members of society. In other words, what Dewey was saying is that education teaches the society to function and not get into massive fights. Socialization. 1948, a very wise man named Martin Luther King Jr. said this. It was a speech at Morehouse College in 1948. He said, the function of education is to teach one to think intensively and to think critically. And that's what I'm asking you guys to do in this sermon. I'm asking you to think intensively and think critically. He continues on. He says, but education which stops with efficiency may prove the greatest menace to society. The most dangerous criminal may be the man gifted with reason but no morals. Do you feel like Martin Luther King Jr. was being a prophet? Do you think he was prophesying into 2012, 2015, 2017? Let me read that quote again. The most dangerous criminal may be the man gifted with reason, but no morals. We must remember that intelligence is not enough. Intelligence plus character. That is the goal of true education. You guys feel like we've lost that? You feel like we've lost intelligence plus character? I feel like character has been thrown away. Okay? 1957. ACSD, the committee that I just quoted, they were kind of important. They said the main purpose of American school is to provide for the fullest possible development of each learner for living morally, creatively, and productively in a democratic society. Notice the word morally starts getting dropped. Notice the character starts disappearing as we continue on. What would you describe the purpose of education in Chicago to be? Okay, we could get in a big argument based on some of these things. Some of you guys, you have some wonderful teachers. Some of you guys have some poor teachers. But basically, what we have to understand is the debate is raging. And the question is, as Christians, if this is one of the major areas of culture, if we don't engage in it, what's going to happen? Now, again, I want you guys to hear what I have to say. Some of you, you need to homeschool. Uniquely, that's what you need to do. Some of you, you need to have people in private school. That's absolutely where they need to be. Some of you need to have your kids in public school. That's absolutely where they need to be. The problem is you need to be where you're supposed to be, and you don't need to tell people where they're supposed to be. Stop telling people where they're supposed to be. Stop trying to place your ideals and your concept of what you believe the world should be on other people. Don't do that. Be who you're supposed to be. Take care of you, but no, that's what we do. What we do is we ignore me and we deal with other people. That's how we psychologically and emotionally do self-defense. We avoid our junk and we point out other people's junk. Okay? Let me jump into the teaching. Point number one, you guys have heard this one before. It's going to be repeated each sermon. Teaching must start with truth. John 17, 14 through 19 says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. I do not ask that you take them out of this world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. And for their sake, I consecrate myself, that they also may be sanctified by truth. Jesus is saying to his heavenly Father, God, I recognize that this is not who I am. But you, God, sent me into this world so this world would be forever changed and be completely different. And that's why I'm here. And you, God, not only have sent me, Jesus, you have sent future Christians into the world, into culture, to press in and bring light and salt into darkness and things that are decaying. And Jesus is saying, I don't want you to remove them. I want you to sustain them, and I want you to encourage them, and I want you to build them up. And some of you guys, you have engaged in the arena of education, and it has been brutal, and you have been beaten, and you have been attacked, and people have been violent with you with words and different things, and that doesn't mean that you quit. Doesn't mean that you quit. Because our society has changed rules. We've changed rules from if you actually gave a logical argument and a really factual piece of information that someone would go, oh, I should think about that too. If you present it, the person thinks if I yell at you for a long period of time and I yell louder than you, then I'm right. It's no longer about what actually is right. Now, some of you guys are thinking, oh my gosh, we learned that as three-year-olds interacting with our siblings. Yes, that's what it's turned into. It has turned into a child argument. We have to walk away from those things. Okay? Point number two, Jesus commands us to teach others what he taught. In Matthew 28, 19 through 20, he sends us out. Starting from the end of Matthew, this is what we're supposed to do. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age. Jesus is saying, you've got to start with truth, and then you actually have to teach what the truth is. Now let me pause for a second and ask you a key important question. What's the most important thing that you need to learn in your life? So, some of you guys watch Survivor. Some of you guys watch those survival shows where someone gets dropped off out in the wilderness and they're all alone. Two key things that someone who has to know or to be able to survive in a wilderness situation, two things they need to know. Okay? Number one, how to make fire. If you don't know how to build a fire, you are in some serious trouble. Okay? The next one is how to get clean water. So there are things that you have to know for survival. Yes, there are some other things. But the thing would be is if you learned how to build a shelter, if you learned how to set a trap, and you learned how to make a very soft bed, those were the only things you learned, and you got dropped off on an island, would you be in some serious trouble? Yes. When it comes to education, there are things that you can learn. The question is, what's the most important thing that you need to learn? And if you don't learn it, what's going to happen to you? Now, I present to you guys the most important thing that you must learn in your life in order to survive is, who is Jesus Christ? Did I say reading, writing, arithmetic? Did I say name the state capitals of the United States of America? Did I say communicate what major wars have happened in the world? Did I present to you that you have to give me the scientific method of how to understand something? No. What is the most important thing that you need to know? It's who's Jesus. We have to recognize that when we jump into culture, when we jump into education, what's the most important thing that we can educate people on? It's who Jesus is. But what do we spend most of our time educating people on? Recipes? Movie? Critiques? Where to get the newest deal or the best sale? Okay? Maybe you're into baby products and you're like, this is the safest baby carrier. I don't know what you're into. But what is it that you find in your conversations you are educating other people about? What are you telling them about? What are you informing them about? What's the most important thing? Jesus commands that the most important thing is that people be taught to be disciples. The most important. But somewhere in our system, we've been fed lies. How many of you guys have been fed this lie? And education is the most important thing that you can get. Okay? I disagree with that completely. Being born into the right family and winning the birth lottery is probably the most important thing that could ever happen in your life. Think about that for a moment. Think about the birth lottery. The most important thing that can happen. Can you imagine if your last name was Rockefeller? Some guys don't even know what that is. Let me just tell you right now. You are a billionaire. Right? Right? Think about that for a second. Maybe you're a Rothschild. Oh my goodness. If you are, hook me up, right? Think about it. Education presents itself, and I know some of you guys are in the education field. I am not putting down what you're doing. I'm not. I need you to critically think. But the most important thing that you can get is not an education. The most important thing that you can have is character. Have you seen someone with a lot of education and no character? Yeah, we did. In 2007, it was called New York. It was all the bankers, and all of you who are taxpayers are still bailing them out. How many of them went to jail? None. None. See, what Martin Luther King said is that we have people who are insanely intelligent, but they lack morals, they lack ethics. Where are we at? Now, whether you like Trump or you don't like Trump, the morals and ethics are missing. But I think that's the whole city of Washington, D.C. I don't think it's just the president. I think it's the congressmen. I think it's the senators. Look at what happened with Comey, the flip-flop. We want him gone. He's gone. Why is he gone? I was like, oh my gosh. Notice what's going on. Notice the lack of character. Point number three. God tells parents it's their responsibility to teach their own kids. God tells parents it's their responsibility to teach their own kids. Don't put it on the government. Don't put it on the teacher. Don't put it on the pastor. It is your responsibility to pass on your heritage, your family values. But I'm not just talking about passing on recipes. That's not what God is talking about. God says in Deuteronomy 11:19, you shall teach them to your children. What is God saying you should teach your children? Teach them what I've done. Teach them the laws. Teach them how amazing I am. Teach them how I was involved in your life. Teach them that I am God Almighty. Talking of them when you are sitting in your house and when you are walking by the way and when you lie down and when you rise. In other words, when should you talk to your kids about God? All the time. My kids hate it. My kids absolutely hate it. My kids are like, Dad, you're really bringing God up at the gas station? Yes, he's the fuel for your life. I don't really say that, but you guys get what I'm trying to say? The day that I die, my kids are going to know the most important thing in my life was God Almighty. Number two was my wife. My kids will know that. Why? Because it will be beat into their tiny head. They may not love God, but they know that their dad did. They may not trust God, but they know that their dad did. What will you be remembered for? Tonight you die. Sorry, I'm going to use fear for a moment. I'm going to argue about fear in a second. But tonight you die, and this Friday, we all gather together to have a memorial service for you. Will we have to get up and lie? Have you been to those memorial services? I've led those memorial services. I'm like, this person was not a good person. Why are you saying that? I don't know if that person's in a better place. I know we are because that person's gone, but I don't know if they're in a better place. Was that too real? Come on, you guys have been there. You've been to those funerals. But what's going to be said of you? What's going to be said of you? Oh my gosh, they love the Cubs. So thankful they were alive when they won the World Series. Yeah, that's going to help you when you meet your Creator. Hey, Jesus, do you know me? Nope, but I love the Cubs. Door number two. Not a good thing. Proverbs 22:6 says this, train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, he will not depart from it. Let me teach on this for a few minutes. Train a child up in the way God made them. Not in the way you want them made. Don't make your kids live out your unfulfilled dreams that you didn't do. Don't make your kids try to strive to be the college quarterback or the lambda cum laude. I don't even know. I wasn't even close to it in college. So I don't even know what the dumb name is. Okay, they get to wear the sash and go first. And when I was in the back, I was just thankful they said my name. Handed me a diploma. Train up a child in the way they should go. I think a lot of times in life, we're training children and we're training adults in the wrong direction. And you know it. And you're fighting it. The problem is that you've learned to fight it so much that when you actually get taken in the right direction, you're so habitually trained to fight that you actually fight the good thing. When God Almighty shows up and says, I want to show you something beautiful, I want to walk with you, I want to take you somewhere, you're so used to not wanting anybody to control you, nobody to take you anywhere, that you fight God. We need to, in this church, start looking at people and seeing where God has gifted and talented them and encourage them to go do it. Those are keys. Some of the kids that are coming up in our church, listen, church, they're not going to fit the mold of our educational school system. Our educational school system is bent towards people who can memorize, people who have photographic memories, and people who can be quiet in class. That was not me. Okay? I have a buddy. We were talking this last week. I asked him about his college experience. He said, I majored in eligibility. I started laughing. I majored in friendships. I went to school because all my friends were there. Right? Some of you guys are like, friends? Friends were at school? I love the books. I don't know you. But I wanted to know you when it was test time. And I would hang out with you at Denny's all day long and just ask you, tell me what you know. Okay? Some of your kids are not going to fit into that mold. They will hear the lie, if you don't do well in school, you won't do well in life. Let's pause right there. Hear what I said? It's a lie. Think about this for a moment. Were the guys who created Apple college grads? They're billionaires. What about the Microsoft guys? No. What about the guy who owns Nike? No, I don't think Phil Knight did that either. He ended up buying Oregon, the university, because he couldn't, you know, so he owns it now. Good for him. So let's just own for a second that education is not the golden ticket by Willy Wonka. Not. But who's feeding you that lie? Society, culture. Is education important? Yes. If used right and well, is it good? Yes. If used for evil, is it bad? Yes. So we've got to figure out what it is. Notice that education uses the same tool that culture usually uses, fear. Think of it. Think back to your educational experience. If you don't pass this test, you'll never get married and have kids. What? What? I'm a first grader. What? Dang it. My one plus is I'm never going to make it in life. Right? I've listened to my kids come home and the stuff they tell me that educators tell them. But why are educators saying that? Well, because education is what? It's politicized. One of those things that politicians try to constantly control. Okay? And how do politicians control it? They make promises they can't follow up with. I remember growing up in California, every single election year, we're going to improve schools. I'm like, man, they should be improved by now. Right? I mean, how many years are you guys improving them? But then I realized, wait, I'm in it. This is not improved. Like, what are you doing? But then I stopped, and then I started to think, does school really need to be improved? No. There are phenomenal people in those buildings. There are amazing teachers who are trying to teach key information. We have insane facilities in the United States of America. We have first world problems. We have wonderful administrators and people who are absolutely dedicated to making sure that your child and you and I had an opportunity to succeed and learn. What do we need to improve? Probably our politicians. But our politicians keep playing the magic trick. They show you the cup, but over here they're doing the trick and you're looking at the cup. Know what culture does to you. It distracts you. And if you're just a consumer, you're looking at the cup and you don't see what they're doing over here. Point number four, teaching can be positive. Colossians 3:16 says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. We need to be educating each other in wisdom. Wisdom. Some of you guys have learned some deep lessons of what not to do. You need to share them. You guys stand next to other people and allow me an analogy. You are on a street and there is a dark alley and I am starting to turn down it and you know the pit that is down that alley because you have been there twice. And as I start to turn to walk down that alley, you say something hushed underneath your breath. Oh, that's not going to go well. Did you educate me in all wisdom? No. Do you feel better about yourself because you feel like you did something? Yes. But did you really do something? No. You're not a contributor. You're just a critic. Oh, he's going to die. We need to be able to speak life into each other, and we need to speak wisdom. My grandfather had a great saying. He said, before you tear down a fence, figure out why someone built it. Fences do two things. One, they keep things in, and two, they keep things out. But maybe you're like me. I was always jumping over fences. I found out why the fence was built. There is a big dog over there, and it is mean. Okay? Sometimes we've got to look at what's going on and figure out how we can give wisdom to other people. Some of you mothers, you need to say to other mothers, babies just cry sometimes. Some of you mothers who've tried to wear the superwoman cape, you're going to be the amazing wife. You're going to be the amazing worker. You're going to be the amazing mother. You're going to be the amazing daughter. You're going to be the amazing sister. I mean, you're going to be amazing at everything, right? Anybody in here felt that pressure? You failed at all of it, didn't you? Right? You got on the table, you put the cape on, and you leapt. How did it go? You belly flop. Boom. Okay, some of you guys know this joke, full scorpion. That's when your legs go up and over you and touch the back of your head. That's called scorpion. Okay? So Some of you guys do that and you wonder, what happened? Some of you guys with wisdom need to go to each other and go, don't do that. You don't have to have that pressure. God is in charge of your child. God is the one who has the guardian angel. God is the one who's looking out for your kid, not you. You're messing up your kid. God is fixing all your messes, okay? Let me give you guys some things to relax on. I was talking to a friend on the telephone, and I'm not going to use a friend's name because I didn't get permission to tell this story. But we were talking on the phone, and they were traveling abroad. And they were over in Europe when London had the latest terrorist attack. And I was talking to this person, and I said, when you were over there, were you afraid of the terrorist attacks? And the person dropped wisdom on me. And if you guys can write this down, this was insane wisdom. I'm actually applying what I just told you to do. I'm teaching you something that this person gave me. The person said, Nathan, if I spend time worrying about the 1% chance of things happening to me, I'm going to have a horrible life. And I went, say that again. Sometimes when people give you wisdom, you need to ask them to repeat it because you didn't hear it. They say that again. But Nathan, there's a less than 1% chance that I will ever be involved in a terrorist disaster. Why would I give that much energy and time into worrying about it? Now, I didn't do the math, but let's do the math real quick together as a group. If right now in the city of Chicago, there's 3 million people plus, and in the city of Chicago last year, and again, I get this, follow me for a moment, hear me. In the city of Chicago last year, let's just say 700 people were shot and killed. What's the percentage likelihood of you being shot and killed in the city of Chicago if you're in 3 million people? How worried are you about it? Do you feel like you give an disproportionate amount of worry to the threat that could happen to you? Remember when I moved here to Chicago, I noticed that there were no kids playing on the streets in the neighborhoods. I was like, where are the kids? They're locked up inside. Why are they locked up inside? Well, they're locked up inside so they can be safe. They're being locked up inside to be safe from what? Now, hear me. There were some times where the neighborhoods were so bad the kids needed to be locked up inside. The neighborhoods have changed in a lot of areas, but yet the kids are still locked up inside. I remember as a kid growing up, Halloween, some of you guys are going to laugh at this. I remember growing up in Halloween, we'd go door to door and people would give us food products. They weren't wrapped in wrappers. I remember this one lady, she would give Rice Krispie squares and they were like bricks. Bricks, like a brick of rice. And she was like the most awesome lady in the world, mainly in October. You guys remember the scare as kids in the 80s? People are putting razor blades in apples. Oh, they are, yeah. And then so what you had to do is go radiate your food so you didn't ingest cancer. I mean, that's brilliant, right? Because we're afraid. Do you guys know that in America, in the history of Halloween, there are zero instances of any food ever being poisoned or any sharp object being found in food? Zero. How many of you guys heard that rumor when you were kids? Yeah, and Mikey died from eating Pop Rocks and Pepsi or Coke or whatever it was. He blew up, right? The kid from the cereal commercial. Sometimes you're being educated by lies, and you're being educated by fear. If you're going to stick as consumer, you're not going to know when you're being educated by lies and fear. I was in marriage counseling with my wife. I've been to a lot of marriage counseling with my wife because my wife has a lot of issues. Hear the joke coming. Some of you guys, oh my gosh. If you've ever been to marriage counseling and you think your spouse is the problem, let me help you out. You're the problem. Okay, I just dropped wisdom on you. Some of you guys didn't hear that. If you go to marriage counseling and you think your spouse is the problem, you're the problem. Why? Because you're 50% of the marriage. You're 50% of the problem. I remember sitting in marriage counseling and we were talking with our marriage counselor and this marriage counselor dropped a truth bomb on me and I realized, oh my gosh, I'm a horrible parent. And my wife was all, hold you. We're here for you. And I was like, oh, we are. I was talking and I was sharing and the marriage counselor looked at me and he said, you're a Christian, right? I was like, yeah, I'm a Christian. He's like, and you're a pastor, right? And I'm like, oh crap, he's setting me up. He's doing the Socratic method. Next thing I know, I'm going to walk out of here with a set of knives. Like, I'm going to buy all of them. Like, yeah, I'm a pastor. And he's like, and you believe in Jesus, right? And I'm like, yeah, and Jesus is the truth and the way. And Jesus said to have hope and not to worry and not to fear, because love casts out all fear, and we're not to make decisions out of fear. And I'm like, man, you're preaching it. He's like, yeah, but you're parenting out of fear. That's it. We're leaving. We're getting a new marriage counselor. This one sucks. Now, by the way, most people quit marriage counselors when the marriage counselor actually tells them truth that they don't want to hear. They go get a new one. That's another one for you. And I wanted to do that. I wanted to leave this person because he was speaking truth into my life, and I didn't want to hear it. I just sit there and own it. How many of you guys are making decisions based on fear? How many guys are parenting out of fear? How many guys are in relationships based on fear? That can't be going well. I realized, oh my gosh, this world trains me and educates me to be afraid. Have you watched a commercial lately? They guilt parents. Parents, you need to vaccinate your child because later on when they're 30, they might hate you if you don't. You're like, what? What? What kind of a commercial was that? I was just watching Harry Potter, and you just did that to me. That's wrong. Oh, my gosh. Think about it, though. Think about how you're being educated. So we don't need to teach with fear. We need to teach the truth, and we need to be positive, okay? Teach what the Bible teaches. But as for you, teach what accords with sound doctrine. Older men are to be sober-minded, dignified, self-controlled, sound in faith and love and in steadfastness. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderous or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good and to train the young women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind and submissive to their own husbands, and the word of God may not be reviled. Hey, let me just be really honest with you guys. That's not a gender statement. Everybody needs to do that. Everybody needs to do that. Those are things we need to do. Those are the types of people that we need to be. And it's not just Madge that needs to teach all of us. Okay? Everybody's like, well, man, Madge has a lot of work to do. Imagine David in our church. We're in trouble. Yeah. Bring it, David. No, if you're above 13, if you have wisdom, if you're mature, if you're wise, tell people stuff that you've learned. Have you ever been in a situation where you've totally messed something up and somebody comes to you and goes, yeah, I knew that was going to go wrong? Why are we still friends? Like, do you know what I'm saying? Like, you're now on the hate list. Like, oh man, that's not okay. Point number six, teach first what's most important. Okay, I already set you guys up. What's most important to teach first? How much time do you spend each week talking about Jesus? How much time do you spend each week learning about Jesus? How much time each week do you spend in fear? How much time each week do you spend in self-defense, hiding? Matthew 26 says this, "For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world and forfeits his soul? Or what shall a man give in return for his soul?" 1 Corinthians 8:1 says, "Now concerning food offered to idols, we know that all of us possess knowledge." Now, Paul's writing and he's having discussion about knowledge and they're having this argument about what to do with food. Don't worry about that for a moment, okay? Don't worry about the food issue for a moment. Look at what's happening in it. Paul says, "This knowledge puffs up." Have you been around someone who has knowledge that's puffed up? Usually they have PhD in front of their name. One of the big things that I didn't want to do is I didn't want to go back to seminary. I didn't want to go back and get my education because I have seen it tweak people. Because they went to an education situation, they got hazed, and so they turn around and they haze other people. How about as a church we decide to stop hazing? You guys hear what I'm saying? Was it right what happened to you? The way that you were treated when you went through the educational school system, was that right? Or maybe it should change. Maybe some of the traditions and maybe some of the values and maybe some of the neat little things that we do are not okay. Stop being a consumer. Look at it. Is that what we need to do? Knowledge puffs up, but what? Love builds up. What's most important? Someone who's incredibly loving or someone who has massive amounts of knowledge? Can you agree that our culture would choose knowledge? Our culture would say the person who's smart, that's the person we want. The person who's loving, we don't want that person. Until Mother Teresa dies. And then all of a sudden, Mother Teresa is this awesome person. But when she was here on earth and she was trying to do ministry, the knowledge people made it incredibly difficult on her. But oh, once she passed away, the knowledge people were wise enough to grab onto her, what would the term be? Her logo, her marketing ability, and capitalize on it. Let's jump into application. Stage two, self-conscious to stage three, to critic. What is it that culture desires to teach? What is it that's happening right now in the school system in Chicago that culture is trying to say? What is it right now in the halls of academia that culture is trying to say? Let me help you out right now. The liberal agenda, right or wrong, I don't care. The liberal agenda owns the higher education system in the United States of America. Question. If the liberal system owns the education in the United States of America, is the conservative side being given so that someone who comes through a higher education actually gets a liberal education, a widespread education? Or is the education that people are receiving, is it narrow to a certain side and to a certain belief system? Now, don't be upset at liberals, because people who were in control of this university system beforehand did the same thing, just the other direction. The question, though, is that right? Are you getting the full view of what education offers you? Or are you getting a narrow, controlled, manipulative view by the group that's in power? Again, I'm not insulting the group that's in power. I want you to understand how to discern what's being told to you. In Chicago, we have a situation right now. Everybody's accepted. Everybody's tolerant. We need to accept all things except that group. We can all hate that group. It's the people who are saying, hey, that's not right. We get to hate them because they're intolerant. It's okay for us to hate them. Martin Luther King said, you can be wise, but if you lose your morals, where are you at? We're in a society that's losing its morals. I've argued this before as a church. Why are we upset that adults are being killed, but we're not upset that babies are being killed? You cannot have an absolute disrespect for life in one area and try to claim that you have it in another area. Either you respect life or you don't. Our culture does not. Notice what it teaches you. Pay attention to how you're being educated. So this culture tries to teach these things. There's no God. Have you noticed that? Knowledge is God. Have you noticed that culture is teaching that? People with more money than you are more powerful than you. You notice that culture is teaching you that? People who have nicer clothes, drive a nicer car, they're better than you. Right? Why do we have so many insecurity issues? Because culture teaches us to be what? Insecure. Go into the supermarket, ladies. Look at the magazines. Are those magazines teaching you to be like, man, I'm having a great day? Or are those magazines telling you, you suck? I think it's the second one. Okay? Culture is teaching us that science can be trusted above all. Have you picked up on that one? But yet, they're now finding that 70% of scientific experiments that have been published inside of journals that have been approved cannot be reproduced. 70% of scientific facts are lies by people who are afraid and want to get published, who want to become popular, who want to get grant money so they can buy a car, so they can have nice cars, so they don't feel guilty at the supermarket when they walk by the magazine. Got connected all that together? I don't think that's true, but that was kind of fun. Okay? Science can't be trusted. Science is constantly changing. When science, here's a major thing you need to understand. Science cannot prove the past. If you think science can prove the past, you don't understand science. Science can only prove the present. It can only reproduce currently in our situation. Absent of that moment, they are now in the faith area, which is usually the area of spirituality that I'm in charge of. You have to have faith to jump there. Don't believe me? Spend time trying to figure out what science really is. Educate yourself. Postmodern thought. We get in trouble with this. Postmodern thought. Truth is subjective. Your truth is your truth. But yet, you must believe my truth. Say that again. It's kind of confusing. It's very dizzying. Postmoderns are hilarious. Truth is subjective. You can't really know what truth is. Your truth is your truth. But you must believe my truth. Postmoderns. Like, wait a minute, that does not make sense. That's really confusing and illogical. Yes. What is it basically saying? Don't control me. Don't tell me what to do. I'm going to do what I want to do. Okay? What else are we taught? Trust credentials, right? Trust credentials. When I was in college, I had some friends who were making thousands of dollars making websites. Now you have to pay universities thousands of dollars so that you can be credentialed to make websites. You need to do that. Okay? Another one, socialization. Be American. Be confused. One of the things that education does is it creates enough confusion and it creates enough chaos that the body cannot be unified and make major changes. Notice how it works. Notice in Chicago the fractioning of the elementary schools and the junior highs and the high schools, how they're pitted against each other for competitiveness. Notice how they're designed to tear each other down so they can never unify to push back on the Board of Education to make the changes that they need. And as long as the Board of Education can keep the schools broken apart and fighting against each other, they will never unify. They will never be strong enough to make the changes that need to be made. I know you guys are thinking, just yell revolution, Nathan. Just yell it. But I need you guys to understand, you have kids in different schools. Stop talking bad about the other schools. I've been from California. The schools in this city have more money than like 8 of the schools in California that I actually taught in combined. There's massive amounts of money in the city. The city doesn't need more money. The city needs to spend the money wisely. But we need to figure out that Brentano's not better than Avondale-Logandale. Avondale-Logandale is not better than Darwin. Darwin's not better than whatever. Lane Tech's not better than Shores, better than Foreman, better than Whitney Young, better than Walter Payton. Those are stupid discussions. At the end, you're each going to get a diploma. And at the end of the day, God is still in charge of each one of your lives, regardless of where you went to school. Okay? So let's jump into some how do we bring this home? So how do we engage in education? Stage 4, contributor. Now, I'm going to list some ideas real fast. You need to figure out where you're supposed to engage. This is not me giving you the answers. Okay? That would be a breakdown of the educational process. The educational process is to teach you how to discern and to connect and go the direction you're supposed to go. The educational process is not supposed for me to tell you what to do. Sometimes I will tick you guys off. You will call me on the phone and you will say, Nathan, what should I do? And I will ask you all these questions. And you will get frustrated with me because you didn't want to discern it for yourself. You wanted to ask me a fast question and get a quick answer. I don't want to do that. I want you to understand how to make decisions. My kids hate me because I do that to them all the time. Like, oh my gosh, you just make it so much easier. Just tell me the answer. I don't know what time you should go to bed. What time do you have to get up? Ugh! We start in the home. Start in the home, start in your house, start in your apartment, start with the door that you're in charge of that you open up. Teach your kids to think and discern. Teach your kids to problem solve. Teach your kids to contribute. Teach your kids about God. Teach your kids about character. Teach your kids about humility. Teach your kids about faith. Teach your kids about honor and respect. Teach your kids to have courage in the Lord. Teach your kids to rely on God. Teach your kids to be interdependent. Teach your kids to live in community. Teach your kids to be around people who live and think differently than them. Write that all down? Good, because I'm moving on. Start in the classroom. We engage in actually writing the curriculum. Do you realize there's people who write the curriculum that gets sold to the Board of Education that enters into the classroom? Because people stopped writing good curriculum. Guess what's been put in our classrooms? Okay? Serve on committees, chair departments, deal with extra work and frustration. Deal with extra work and frustration. If you don't deal with extra work and frustration, somebody else is going to, and they're going to make decisions for you. Don't complain then. Vote in local elections. Serve on the local school site councils. Okay, we start in the classroom, we start in the home, we start in church. Teach the truth in church. Teach the scriptures, not tradition. Teach Christ. Teach desperation and need. A lot of people don't like that. No, Nathan, teach us how we're amazing. Teach us how we're good. Teach us how we all have it all together. Teach us how we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. You've not read the gospel. For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Your heart is wicked, your mind is wicked, you're selfish and deceitful. If left to your own, you would destroy yourself and everybody else around you. You desperately need Jesus Christ. No, teach hope, Nathan. I did. You need Jesus Christ. He's your hope. No, teach me how I'm the hope. Ah, teach me how I'm the hope. No, you're not the hope. We start in our friendships. We share the truth. We share our knowledge. We share our hope. Last one. We do our part. We do not control the outcome. Some of you guys are like me. You're exhausted and tired because you're trying to control the outcome. I can't unteach myself that. I don't know where I learned to try to control the outcome. I don't know where I learned to try to control my friends, try to control my wife, try to control my kids, try to control the weather, try to control my food intake, try to control my sleep, try to control sound. Anybody else like me? Like you're trying to control everything? Right? Yeah. Yeah. Your pastor's the greatest sinner in this church. Welcome. Okay? What I want you guys to understand is as we engage in culture, you are being educated in so many different areas, not just in the school system. You're educated in TV. You're educated in movies. I was listening to a conversation about Doctor Who. I'm not going to name names, Tawny. Where Tawny was outlining how Doctor Who, she felt, was getting ready to start teaching a mindset and a cultural shift in a way in the program and in their writing. Yeah, Hollywood's been doing that for a long time. Normalization of things. Welcome to paying attention to how you're being educated. Okay? What food should you eat? Kale! Why? Why? Because Beyonce says so. Excellent. Worship team, come up here and save me. I can't stand. Pay attention to why you're being educated. I saw something hilarious on Facebook, because Facebook's the knowledge. Source of all truth. I read whatever those things are. And it said, add coconut oil to your kale and saute it. That way it's easier to scrape off the pan and throw away. Okay, let me pray. Now that you guys are educated, stand with me. Let's pray, if I can stand too. Heavenly Father, we love you. God, we pray that your Holy Spirit educates us in all the things that we need to know. God, may we be aware of the ways that we're being pushed. And God, may we be involved in pointing people in the right direction. Teach us individually how we're to respond. In your name we pray. Amen.